We are in our third and final week of this series, and if you missed any of it, both of the first two parts are online, and I'll kind of just as way of review and kind of to get our minds back in the place where we were. This whole series alongside is just talking about, right, what is something that we've all been called to as believers and that we're all equipped to do, and that is to walk alongside others in Christian fellowship. That's basically it. It's pretty simple. It's a pretty simple idea. It's living out Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, which is to love one another as Christ loved us. And so what we've been talking about is how does that play out? What is the reason behind it, and how does it play out? And we said the reason behind it is, number one, that each of us has needs. Each of us is needy in some way, sometimes more so than other times, but all of us have needs. The other piece of that is everybody around us also has needs. And then the last part of that is that God placed us in a spiritual family in order that we might fulfill or meet one another's needs, bear one another's burdens, and so God is able to work through us as a family to care for one another. And so last week we covered our own neediness, and we talked about how our neediness, contrary to our popular culture and the way that we're brought up, is not a negative in God's economy, right? The upside down kingdom, God says, no, I can use your weaknesses are strengths in my hands. And then we talked about, okay, so how do you seek help first from God and then from those around you? So that's what we talked about last week. I'm not going to go into it a ton just because, like I said, you can go online and get caught up on those. The last thing we're going to talk about is the fact that others need our help. There are people that need our help, that need our touch. And so we're going to go into that a little bit deeper today. Now, this is a huge subject, and it's something that we could, talk a lot about, going really deep on, but we don't have time in one little talk. My hope, my desire here is really the two parts. Number one, that this would spur you on to have deeper conversations about how do we live this out? Are we living this out? And if not, what are ways that we can take proactive steps towards living this out? And then the other desire is that maybe you might think, I want to dig deeper on this. I want to go deeper on this. I want to learn more about this and embrace this alongside sort of way of living and fulfilling the law of Christ and what that means in my life. And I'm going to share with you guys some resources that that I have used and that might be helpful to you guys. So the first thing is, let me advance off our icebreaker questions, is what are the things that keep us from doing this? What are the things that keep us from bearing others' burdens? And I say there's objections, and most of these ones that I'm going to come up with here are ones that are mine. Right? These are the objections that go through my mind when I'm confronted or presented with an opportunity to come alongside somebody. And the first one is this: I'm unqualified. Right? I'm unqualified. I might make things worse. Right? You hear a problem, you hear something that somebody's going through, and you go, well, I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole. Right? I'll probably make things worse. Or maybe, it's this one. Well, you know what? I don't have my personal walk with the Lord altogether. I don't have my marriage altogether. So how can I possibly walk along somebody else? Because I don't have my stuff together. I need to get my stuff together first. Or I'm out of my depth. Right? What if somebody starts, doubting their faith and they've got questions about their faith and I'm not a trained apologist, and what am I going to do with that? How do I answer those questions? Or what if they don't listen to me? I don't want to waste my time counseling somebody that's not going to listen. Right? Or one that was a big one for me at a different point in my life was bearing other people's burdens is just too heavy. Right? My own burdens are heavy enough. Bearing somebody else's burdens is just, it's too heavy. I can't do it. So those of our... And you guys can probably at your tables come up with some other ones, some other objections. But those are the ones that at different points in my life have come up in my mind. And I've either verbalized them or not. But those are the objections that I've given to God when I had opportunities presented to me to do this. So what does God say? What does God say about our objections? That's what we want to talk about this morning. The first one is that I'm not qualified, right? The I'm not qualified objection. Let me go back here. I'm not to that slide yet. The I'm not qualified objection. Well, how does God answer that? The first thing he says is, listen, remember who you are, who I say you are in Christ. Forget about you're not feeling qualified. I want you to think about first who I say you are. I say that you're a useful vessel, right? I say that you are gifted. I say that you are empowered, right? That you're spirit-filled. I say that you're redeemed, that you're forgiven, that you're a beloved child, and so also a co-heir with Christ. Like, this is what God says about me and about you. If you are in Christ, this is your identity. And God says, I want you to focus on your identity in Christ, not on these your feelings, your subjective feelings about your qualifications. We had a movie night a couple of weeks ago, or maybe a week ago. We watched this movie called Overcomer, which is a really good movie. If you haven't seen it yet, I hadn't seen it, and I thought it was pretty good. It's called Overcomer. Anyway, there's a scene in the movie where a teacher shares the gospel with this student of hers and leads the student to Christ. And then the first assignment, the first homework that she gives this young girl is she tells her to go home and get a Bible and a highlighter and read through Ephesians 1 and 2 and then highlight everything in Ephesians 1 and 2 that are statements about what God says about her identity. And it's a really good exercise to do, and then meditate on those things and just recognize who you are in Christ. Recognize also, you know, I'm unqualified. Yeah, but you know what? You are a fellow traveler. You are a fellow pilgrim. You are somebody else, another person who's been freed from the bondage of sin. And God calls us, and in his word, sort of this is a modern term, but to pay it forward, right? He calls us to pay it forward. You can comfort because you've been comforted by God through others. And that's the verse I wanted to share, a couple of them here. First, 2 Corinthians 7, 6 through 7. And Paul here is talking about, about Titus and how, and you can see the pay it forward, how it works out here, right? So this is, Paul says, but God who comforts the downcast comforted us, how? By the coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the comfort which he was comforted by you. So you can see this now, like in one short little verse, Titus was comforted. Titus then went and comforted Paul. And the comfort of Titus was one thing, but knowing that had been passed forward, that it all comes together into one beautiful picture. And I think we need to remember that. Remember how we've been comforted. And remember what God says. Pay it forward. Pay it forward. In 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 5, and this is probably the clearest example of this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction. Why? So that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves have been comforted by God. Okay, so this idea of paying it forward, God says, okay, you don't feel like you're qualified. Remember who you are in Christ. Remember what I've done for you and pass it on. And pass it on. And then the last thing I would say to you is, and to myself, is whenever that objection of I'm not equipped comes up, the other thing that we ought to do is say, okay, so I'm going to get equipped so that I feel more confident. Right? There are so many resources out there, so many opportunities for us. First of all, God says, I have given you everything you need for life and godliness. Everything. So do we take advantage of the things that God has given us for life and godliness, or do we not, and then object that, well, we're not qualified? When God says, well, why not? If you're not qualified, why not? Because you can be. How about if they don't listen? That was one of our other objections. They don't listen. That's a tough one. And I tell you, like, that's a big one for me, because I do, you know, we do a lot of marriage counseling. We do premarital counseling. Premarital counseling is usually just fun because everyone's just sitting there listening and going, yeah, this is great. We love each other. Marriage is wonderful, and this is going to be fantastic. But when you're doing marriage counseling, that's a whole other ball of wax. And there are times, I got to tell you, that when you're sitting in front of a couple and it's very clear what's going on and very clear what needs to happen to change the situation, and yet they don't. And week after week, they come back and they tell you the same things, and right? That's frustrating. So that's going to happen. But what does God say? God says, listen, it's not your role. It's not your role to transform people. It's not, conviction and repentance are not in your job description. You are not that, you're not responsible for that. You are responsible for being a good steward of the gifts that I've given you, applying them as I've told you to apply them. And conviction and repentance, that's on the Holy Spirit. And so we just need to be faithful in that. It's going to happen, but as long as we're prepared for it, and we know that sometimes people are just not going to listen. For whatever reason, they're going to be spiritually blind for a time, and we need to pray that they would hear from the Lord and that they would begin to apply these things and be healed. And the last one, and this is a big one, is it's too heavy. It's too heavy. When we lived in Brazil, in the very beginning of our ministry there, most of my day in between the weekends, most of my days were spent out sort of walking around the neighborhoods, visiting families, and praying with them, seeing what the needs were, getting to know the family situation. And these are in slums, and so the things that you would see and the living circumstances you see were really, really hard and really, really heavy and really, really sad. I mean, heartbreaking sad. And in the beginning of that ministry, I would go home at the end of the day and just sit on the couch and want to cry, and did many times. And it was oppressively heavy, until the Lord reminded me that my bearing of burdens is only, number one, it's in Christ and in His power. And number two, it's to bear those burdens as far as the cross of Christ, and then to relinquish them to Him. That they're not my burdens to carry forever, and they're not my burdens to carry alone, right? And Jesus said, you know, to people were to come to Him, you know, come to Me, all who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, right? That His yoke is easy, His burden is light. It doesn't say that Mike's burden is light, right? That's not on you to carry those things in your own strength and anywhere further than the cross. And if you have to do something to remind yourself of that, I did. So I started at that point. I would come home, and before I ever, you know, interacted with a family or anything, I would stop. I would sit down in a quiet place, and I would pray, and I would verbally relinquish those things. I'd be like, Lord, I'm giving this situation to You. I'm giving this situation to You. I'm giving that situation to You. And then I would release them and then go about what I had to do and just be, you know, be able to minister to my family. Today, I have, I made a sign that hangs outside the front door of my house that says Shalom in Hebrew. And when I come into my house, it's a constant reminder as I'm coming home from ministering, from counseling, from whatever it happens to be that I'm doing. When I'm coming home, I'm looking at that and I'm being reminded that I only carry those burdens as far as the cross, that the peace of Christ, right, that peace that transcends all understanding, that's mine in Christ. And so when you think about it being heavy, yes, it is heavy. But remember that when you're bearing burdens in Christ, you only bear them as far as the cross. So what is God saying to us here in all of these things? So we have our objections. I think of Moses at the burning bush, right? And Moses, man, he had some objections, and he could roll them out pretty fast. But in the end, what God ended up saying was, get over yourself, right? Get over yourself and go and do what I'm calling you to do. Right? I'm with you. Go and do what I'm calling you to do. So how do we do that? I think for some people, this comes a little bit more naturally, particularly the beginning parts of it. I'm going to go through four sort of, I don't want to call them steps, but four phases of coming alongside somebody. And sometimes you already are walking alongside somebody, you know them, you've got relationship, and so you might skip some of these initial ones. The first one is this, is just to take initiative. It's to take initiatives, to remember, you know, God moved towards us. He didn't stand off at a distance and wait for us, and so neither should we. We need to take the initiative. We need to move towards people, right? God's word says that we are to imitate God as dearly loved children, right? So if God moves towards people, we need to move towards people. We need to take that initiative. So what does that look like in practice? It could be something as simple as just, you know, I'm getting up in the morning, I'm getting ready to come to the church. I know I'm going to be around other people. Some of those people, some portion of those people are going to have needs. It's just to set your mind to say, Lord, when I go this morning, when I go to worship, I'm not just going to hear from you. I'm going to be used by you. I'm going to use the gifts that you've given me. I'm going to walk into any situation and I'm going to be attentive to what's going on, the way that your spirit is moving. I'm going to pay attention to people's eyes, their looks, the things that they say. I want to be used by you. God, give me opportunities to bless those who need to hear from you this morning. So having that attitude, and that doesn't just go for when you go to church. If you have that attitude every morning, right, and you think about your family, you think about your workplace, or what have you, your neighborhood, God delights in answering those prayers. He delights in answering. I've got so many cool stories of times when I've done that. It was particularly when I had to go somewhere that I didn't want to go, that I was not interested in going, and yet I was committed to go there. So I'm like, all right. I'm like, Lord, I really don't want to go to this thing. But if you could just, you know, if there's somebody that needs to hear from you, make me spiritually aware, and then give me the courage to take initiative and move towards them in your name. So the first thing is that, is just to take initiative, to move towards people. And then is to have meaningful conversations with people. So again, this comes easy for some people, harder for other people, is conversations. Some people are just not good conversationalists. And I would say to you, you can get better. You can train yourself to become better at conversation by doing what? You know, practicing sincere interest in other people. So when you see someone in the lobby sitting next to you in church that you don't know, that you've never seen before, it's just to introduce yourself, right? Have you been going here long? I don't think I've ever met you before. My name is Mike. And then show sincere interest in the person. Ask them good questions. Ask them follow-up questions. You know, my kids, when all of them hit high school, I gave them a copy of this book that a lot of you would be familiar with called How to Win Friends and Influence People. Right? If any of you are in business, you've probably read that book, or in sales, you've definitely read that book. In the hands of an insincere person, it is a manual for manipulation. But in the hands of a believer who is sincerely interested in other people and wants to move towards other people and wants to engage in relationship, it's actually a really useful book. A lot of really good tips for how to talk to people and how to draw them out. Look for God's activity in people's lives as you're having these conversations. Ask them the good questions, like, so tell me about your spiritual journey. You know, what's your walk with Christ like? How did you get saved? How did you end up at Reston Bible Church? And then pay attention to what their answers to these things are. Try to learn what's important to them. Pray for them. And I would say, when I say pray for them, I've fallen into this a lot. And so today what I try to do is if I want to tell someone that I'm going to pray for them, I just ask them, can I pray for you right now? Because chances are, if I say, hey, I will pray for that, I'm going to pray for you. And if it's not in my notes or my phone or something, and I walk away, then the next five people talk to me and I've completely forgotten that last conversation. And that's a horrible feeling when you see that person the next time and you realize, I never did pray for that person. I told them I would. So pray for them and make sure that you do it. Having meaningful conversations. And then it moves deeper from there. So you've had meaningful conversations. You've taken the initiative. And then you need to, as the Lord leads and you see opportunities, to move beyond those initial conversations. Move into a deepening friendship. And that's going to require fellowship and time outside of the confines of a Sunday morning. But you'll know, right? If you are prayerful about this and you see these conversations that develop and they begin to deepen, and God will point it out to you, like, I want you to go deeper with this person, then obey that leading and go deeper, right? And this is when you begin to share your own stories with somebody, right? You're hearing their stories and you're sharing your own stories. They're beginning to learn what's important to you, right? There's a give and take at this point of a deepening relationship. One of our missionaries is actually the guy who is our field director in Brazil right now. I started discipling when he was 16 years old, about 2 weeks after he came to the Lord. And we did spend a lot of time, right, in the Word and actually doing what you might think of when you think of discipleship. It's like talking through application and theology and all that kind of stuff. And we did that. But a number of years later, after he got married and had his first child, he said to me, or said to someone else in front of me, he said, you know, I learned I learned so much about fatherhood and how to be a husband by spending time with Mike and watching the way that he interacts with his wife, the way that he interacts with his kids, not just at church, but in the home, around their homework, or around the dinner table, or at bedtime, and all those kinds of things. I got to see that, right? That kind of discipleship only happens if you've moved beyond the initial conversation and you've actually entered into somebody's life. So God calls us to that. And again, it's not, you can't do that with every single person you meet and talk to on a Sunday morning. So there is an aspect of this that you really need to be asking for God's discernment about where do you move and who are the people that you're moving deeper with. And then the last thing I'll say is this, because this is what happens when you begin to perceive the needs or they begin to share the needs with you. And that is we need to show compassion. And we do that humbly. We need to do it carefully. We need to do it thoughtfully. When you see a need that a person has, when they're struggling with something and they've shared something with you, is to not just say, and I've done this too, okay? I'm telling you all my mistakes so we can all learn from it, is to say, hey, what can I do for you? Or if you need anything, just let me know. They won't. They will not let you know. 99.9% of the time, they're not going to let you know. So when you say, what can I do, follow that on with a couple of like solid, real examples. Can I bring you a meal tonight? Can I drive you to your appointment? Can I watch the kids for you? Can I just come over and pray with you? Right? Give them concrete examples of things that you are ready and willing to do at that moment. Don't be trite. God's word is powerful. God's word does not return void. And so I want to caveat that with this, but it's really not helpful when somebody's going through something really hard for you to right away initially go to, yeah, do you know what? Don't get down. God works all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose, right? That's true. You've given them a truth. But it comes across as, hey, you know, buck up. It's going to be okay. And God calls us to weep with those who weep, to mourn with those who mourn. And until we've done that, until we've taken that step of actually weeping with that person, entering in compassion, right? Sharing compassion, right? Passion being suffering, and then the co, right? Sharing in their suffering. Until we've entered into that with them, we have to be very careful about the words that we use and the things that we say. There's a great story, and I wish I could remember who told me it. I just heard it recently, but I thought it was beautiful. And it gets me choked up every time I tell it. But it's about a mom who has a little boy, and they live next door to an elderly couple. And the wife in this elderly couple passes away. And the mom and her child come home one day, and it's a little guy. They come home one day and with the groceries, and they're coming into the house, and the older gentleman is sitting on his front steps, just sitting on his front steps by himself. And the little boy goes over and sits down next to him. And the mom unloads the groceries and everything, and she keeps looking. He's just sitting over there next to the old man. And he finally comes back after a good long while. He comes back and comes into the house. And she says, hey, what were you guys talking about? And he said, oh, we weren't talking about anything. I was just helping him be sad. Right? It's sweet, and it gets me choked up when I tell a story. But that's, like, I think that's where we need to start. We need to sometimes we just need to sit with someone and help them be sad and be careful. And then when you want to give wisdom and you see that there's a place to give wisdom, ask them first, right? Nobody likes advice that's unsolicited. So ask them, say, hey, you know, I see some things. I love you. I see that you're struggling. Would you like to talk about it? I think I might, you know, there might be some things in God's word that could help. Can I do that, right? Is to come at it humbly. So showing compassion humbly, carefully, thoughtfully. So those are the four. Let's see if I can go back to them all, right? Taking the initiative, moving towards people, right? Being aware and willing to step towards people as God stepped towards us, engaging them in meaningful conversations, entering into their lives, going deeper with those people that God shows you and leads you to go deeper with, and then showing compassion to them in their time of need, and doing it humbly, carefully, thoughtfully. So, closing thoughts before we go to our conversation at the table is just really a review, right? You're needy, I'm needy. But we're also needed. And God has placed us in a family for that reason, to meet those needs through one another. God is meeting the needs, but he likes to do that through you and I. So when you're struggling, when you're the one that's got the needs, ask God for help. And we talked about, you know, how do we do that? Ask God for help. And then invite others to share in your trouble. As Paul said, right, they shared in his trouble. Invite others to share in your trouble in prayer. And then intentionally move towards others around you to do the same. Before we pray, I want to, a couple of things. I would love to, we have a family life mentor training that's on video. It's basically, it's not super, you know, well produced. It's basically a video of me teaching a class. But it's available on video, as well as the workbook that we use for that. And even if you go, oh, I don't think I want to be a part of the formal family life ministry, family life mentor ministry, if you would like to have access to that training, which is going to go through some a lot more practical ways, practical things to keep in mind when you're doing life on life alongside type ministry, I would love to make that available to you. You can email me. It's just mikemyers@restandbible.org, and I'll send you both the workbook in a PDF as well as the training itself. And then, and I'll say this, there's a couple of books that I highly recommend if you're a reader and you want to go in deeper on this. The first one is this book by Ed Welch called Side by Side. So a lot of what I know and what I practice about walking alongside others, I've learned from Ed Welch. Is a counselor with the CCEF, which is the Christian Counseling Education Foundation. And anyway, so this is a great book. It's not a super thick book. It's actually a pretty easy read, very practical. And then there's this one that's even smaller. If you're like me and you have a short attention span, 8 Ways to Cultivate Meaningful Relationships. It's called Caring for One Another. It's also by Ed Welch. But this is just, hey, here are some solid ways that you can move towards others in this alongside ministry. So those are the two, plus the mentor training as resources to help you get equipped. Why don't we pray, and then I'll put the discussion questions on the screen. Father in heaven, thank you again. Just, God, that we have opportunities to gather together, that we have an opportunity to look into your word, to encourage one another and exhort one another to love and good works. I pray, Father, that the things that we've heard and things that we've discussed over the last 3 weeks, Father, would do their work in our hearts to help us to be more obedient to your word, to see the fruit of your spirit in our lives, to be a blessing to those around us. Father, to do the work of the kingdom in bearing one another's burdens and fulfilling the law of Christ. So God, I ask for your blessing in our conversation, Lord, that it would be rich, that it would be edifying to each of us and honoring and pleasing to you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.